So the learning today should be a schosi linish masadiach chaver chaim elozer ben shem shenarye and reb yakov yosef ben chaim menachem ben zion. It should also be a schos for fuish leim up chaim moish yeshua ben makach chaim zeb ben menarachu chanali abashen derachu and abadati ben peril, as well as a schos for all those in a makam sakon in Eretz Yisrael and those risking their lives to protect it. So we are continuing now on the topic of galus. Yesterday we talked about the mindset that a person should take on day-to-day things where a person is uncomfortable or a person is forced to live outside a home or travel temporarily or even inside your home in an uncomfortable way, that a person should at least, once you're living through that scenario, at least have in mind that this should be a kapara of galus. Now he's going to talk about real galus. And he's going to talk about how does Klal Yisrael deal and cope with real galus, or more specifically, when is it appropriate for a tzibur even to intentionally put themselves into galus? So we're on the bottom of page 372. It says, "V'hineh yedua maimer chazal." There's a famous maimer chazal, two famous maimer chazal, which seem to contradict each other. One says, "Sha'amru galus le'iniach midatav Yisrael," that galus is not good; it doesn't benefit Klal Yisrael. "V'hemamru yagalus le'Yisrael," and then in another place, they say that galus is very good. So, how do you explain that? "V'ani amar pesha davar," I'll give you an explanation. "Shagalus hanefesh le'itav Yisrael." To exile a person's nefesh, meaning to exile a person's ruchnias, to the point where he can't practice his Yiddishkeit, that is not healthy, or that is not good. And it's beneficial for anyone who has the ability to run away from a place where people, where the goyim are antagonizing him, that they're not allowing him to practice Judaism. He's talking about a place in his time where they made a gzera that a man is not allowed to marry a woman until someone else in the population who's already married dies. So they put a limitation on how many people could be married at once. What was the purpose of this? They wanted to encourage promiscuity. So they figured, if you're going to wait 5-6 years for someone to die in your city, you know what? You're going to end up getting married, but you're not going to end up getting married, but you're going to end up sleeping around without getting married, and that's going to lead to znus. Oh, he gives you another example. They take Jews by force, and they draft them into the army. In Russian, I forgot there was a name for it. Something Konstan something. Someone's going to remember what they were called.
Constantinople?
No. But it's called something. Ask Meta AI. The Hemuchrachim Latzis Mimidas Yehidus, where they are forced to give up Judaism, right? Being very hard to keep your faith, to keep kashrus, to keep your religion when you're in such a situation. The Chahena Gezeres Kashrus and Hakam Ram Shesh Bixas Malchuyas. And if you come across any of these harsh decrees and practices that are prevalent in certain countries, Miha Ish. If you have somebody who is able to uproot himself and run away, and he doesn't, he's going to have to give a reckoning in Shemayim for this. He says it's more beneficial, and I guess more muchruch, more necessary for a person to run away from such a place, more so than to run away from a place where there's a deadly plague running through the town. And if you don't want to leave, I when I went to high school, so there were a lot of people from Iran who were Iranian Jews who were in my class. And a couple of them were very, very wealthy. But in order to leave Iran, you had to leave all your money behind. So this is an example of people who, you know, they're very, extremely wealthy and the government's going to confiscate all their money if they leave. But if that's what's preventing them, it's a big mistake. Because you're going to lose the money as well. Chazal tells the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there's a halacha of a ir anidachas. What's an ir anidachas? Where most of the city is worshiping Avodah Zarah. What's the halacha? You take all of the possessions of the city, all the animals, everything belonging to the city, all possessions, get burned. Now hold on a second. If you have a city where 90% of the people are worshiping Avodah Zarah, that means 10% of the people are tzaddikim. Why are you burning the possessions of the tzaddikim? Right? If you're going to overturn Sodom and you're going to burn down Sodom, why are you burning Lot's property? Lot wasn't doing what the rest of the people of Sodom were doing. But the answer is exactly why did Lot go to live there? Mamoina, because of the money, right? Lot saw all of the land and he got greedy And he said, I don't care what the people are like. I want to live here. So too, at Yerani Dachas, what are the tzaddikim doing living in a city where most of the people are following Avodah Zarah? You don't belong in such a city. And if your reason for not leaving there is because of your possessions, the Torah says, we're going to burn your possessions too, even though you didn't worship the Avodah Zarah, because you didn't belong in such a place, and it was your possessions that prevented you from leaving. You learn from this. It behooves a person to run away from a city where the people are Rishayim. If you can't protest, you can't fix it. If you can't do anything about it. Meaning, if you're the Rav or the Manig and your places, you're trying to get people to do better, so then you stay there. You should stay there. You don't just give up on the Tzibur. But if you're not able to make a Rishon, let's say people rejected you and no one's listening, and at this point you're not going to be able to change anyone's mind, then in such a case, you have to distance yourself from that city. You might get caught up in their aveiros and you'll get burned together with them. Just like a fire doesn't only burn what touches it, but a fire burns anyone that gets too close, proximity. So there's a proximity alert here too when you're near in a city where there are Rishayim or there is a government that is preventing you from practicing Yahadus. Avol bedvarim hanoygim al haguf. But when it comes to physical suffering, so that Yagalus al Yisrael, that's good for Klal Yisrael. So how does he explain the Maimar Chazal? When is Galus bad? Galus is bad when it's impacting your ruchnias, your ability to do Avodas Hashem. When is Galus good? Galus is good when it's a physical suffering, because that provides a kapara, as we talked about last time, the benefits of having a person going through galus.